We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's going down. We're gathering timber.
Y'all get me excited. I missed you over the weekend. I was just going to say, here I am, Mr. They're doctoring the balls. There's no offense. But, Steiny, I can't ignore the rat on the table with the homers. But kudos to the Giants, their hitting coach, and Wade Jr., Duggar. I mean, it ain't just Crawford and Pelton Posey. It's the whole team, Dibs, Casale. And I can't wait. We had Flim on, friend of the program. The 25th, I believe, is the date that they're going to close in the arcade doors. And I'm curious to see if that's going to affect the plight of the ball, because it's the new Wrigley over there on Third and King, man. That ball is just home run.
So they're going to open the arcade doors, right?
I thought they were going to close them.
Oh, I thought they already were closed, which is why the ball was flying all over the yard. And that's, I know that the 25th on Friday is going to be full capacity. So
yeah, you got it, Dibs.
Yeah, right. it's been amazing,
closed.
And I'm glad I got to go to a game when there was only 9,800 fans. It was so special. It felt like a VIP kind of vibe. But on Friday, when the A's come to town,
Woo.
It's going to be 42,000 fans. It's going to be bananas. I'm hoping, and I'm kind of holding my breath a little bit, that everybody can behave and get along, because you know, what we saw in San Diego yesterday with capacity crowds and a little bit of the U.S. Open with, you know, Torrey Pines and full galleries and the roars. And it's good to have fans back in sports as long as we all behave.
Would you go to the game, both of you, right now, fully 42,000? Would both of you go, no hesitancy with the pandemic basically being over, Steiny and Dibs? Would you go?
I would not go. But it's got nothing to do with COVID. It has more to do with, do I really want to go to a place where there's a full house right now? Mm-hmm. I kind of like it when it's, you know, you can kick your feet out a little bit, stretch out, go to the bathroom without a line.
Those days are ended, though. I'm
get
with
that
you.
Beer, I hear you. Get that beer between innings without missing a pitch. That's the way I like to watch a game.
Definitely. I would go, Goo, to answer your question. I'm, you know, having gone once already, I kind of got the fever a little bit about live sports. It was so fun. And, I mean, granted, I saw one of the greatest games of the year with the Yaz Grand Slam coming back from 7-0 down. I know not every game gives you that much joy, but it was so much fun. I'm feeling some kind of way about going back.
And I'm nervous, and I'm thinking, and I'm really nervous because this is like a rebirth, Steiny and Dibs, for something, you know, that I've taken for granted. And what better locale to go to with both Bay Area teams playing each other? Kill two, you know, birds with one stone. And I don't want to go using the credential, Steiny. I would want to go as being in the crowd and actually buying a ticket, but that would take some chicken.
Of course. That's a – and Guru, just FYI – you know, the media game. I respect that. If you're going to a game and you know you're not working to pay for the ticket, there are a lot of media members in the Bay and throughout who will use that media credential to get into the building without paying, but they're not working either. Quite frankly, I think it's reprehensible and it's dishonest.
Well, and I appreciate the uptick, but I couldn't disagree with you more you know, you use your media pass to get in. As long as you don't go to the media room and, you know, reap the benefits of being a non-working media member, I think it's fine. And, you know, I've done it, God, countless times where, you know, because ultimately I'm working on the radio. I am working. If I go there and I'm, you know, rubbing elbows with the crowd, and I'm getting a sense of the scene, and,
right,
you know, you're getting a feel for the atmosphere. Now, I would never use my media pass and then go take a media seat and, you know, pretend to work on media row, but I would use my media access to come in and, you know, do some of that deep background where you're commenting on the crowd and the vibe and all that. So for you to call that reprehensible tells me that you've never had the gumption to actually show up and do your homework in that fashion.
Oh, no, not that way. No, no, no.
That's wild, Steiny.
I just take notes from the TV. If,
right.
If I'm not going to be there.
Right. You got no gumption.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
He's gumption
free.
But
there's so much you see, you know. Yeah, Steiny, you made me feel low, but Dibs, I'm with you. I've been doing that since my whole career.
Yeah.
Like, you get so much. I ain't sipping, drinking beer, having a good time.
No, of course not.
I'm sitting there studying. I'm studying, you know, and it's that mental studying, seeing the bench and the coaches, you know. And I never – it's interesting you look at it that way, but I always felt like, hey, this ain't no playing around. I'm so blessed to be able to gather the game in the essence of the locker room and where they come out. You know, that I always was quiet in the library, sector of the media rooms.
Well, so are you going to the clubhouse or not going to the clubhouse?
Well, before the game, I'd go on the floor, watch the guys shoot around, you know, get that, you know, kind of feel that out, and then go back to my seat and watch the game, you know, intently with like I'm working.
I don't know.
I couldn't get it from the TV, I guess, but, is what I'm saying. I get other, you know, other things that when you're in person, you get to see and be a part of.
Well, there's a lot. There's still some unanswered questions here. Like what I'll assume is that Dibs uses the media pass to get in, does not go to the press box or the clubhouse.
Correct.
But also, I got to believe Dibs is smart enough that let's say he's going to have a beer. He probably takes the credential off point.
Yeah, the credential's off immediately.
Yeah.
By the time, you know, you walk in, you use the credential for the admission, and then the credential goes away. I'm just a fan at that point, a fan who is gleaning insights for the program, for your show, Steiny, trying to bolster your career and trying to help Guru out. So you're welcome.
Maybe I'll use that same philosophy later this week in Milwaukee when the Hawks take on the Bucks. Maybe.
Well,
you going?
There's wheels in motion.
Okay.
Wheels are in motion. Yeah,
baller ideas. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What?
You're in a different spot.
No, I want
you don't
to
need
go.
To go that route because, you know, we know the GM. Well, apparently you know the GM of the Hawks. Apparently I can't get a sniff of a road date of this. I can't even get a T-shirt from the guy.
I look at my phone, Diaz.
That's
wait,
a story
call.
For another day. Steiny allegedly has some shirts for me, but I haven't gotten even a sniff of a thread of cotton, but you have enough juice to where you don't need to go that route. And I'll say this, when I went to the Final Four, I think for the fourth of five straight times. Yeah, it's a nice looking shirt there.
You like that?
I went to Detroit and I got a media pass for the Red Wings game. And
okay.
I sat at the old Joe Louis Arena and you know, I used the pass to get in. I did sit on media row. And I did a little bit of media reporting, but it was kind of a similar deal.
Sorry, Steiny, we quit flexing now.
These are the two that are in the bag for Dibs:
a golf shirt and
a black shirt. Goo, I'm working on yours, but it's going to have to come from Dana because Dana's got all the double and triple X's.
I'm double X.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although
Gun Show.
Come to think of it, Dibs, when our guy gets his stuff from Phil Handy and Mario Ellie, we never sniff it.
Never. I mean,
speaking of Handy, he just made an appearance on All the Smoke podcast. Check it out if you can. Yeah,
I'd be careful about going on that podcast.
I think some things have changed since Kwame. It's I don't know what it is. It ain't more Disney Diz, but something's up. Something's different. I don't know. They still do a good thing, but something's up.
Yeah, not so edgy anymore. Now that Kwame came over the top on your boy Matt Barnes and
Stack
Jack.
Solved the mystery for old Goo, yeah.
Yeah, maybe now the podcast should change its name to Some of the Smoke instead of All the Smoke.
Oh,
not bad.
A touch of fog, maybe.
Not bad. Hey, the Giants.
I was talking yesterday about your you're not bad response as opposed to an actual audible laugh. I was telling our mutual friends how I'll say something funny and you'll think it's funny, but instead of laughing, you'll hit me with a not bad.
Does our new board op, does he know my laugh, the sound, you know, the one where...
That's time to wake up.
I guess not. You didn't know that one yet. Hey, the San Francisco Giants, here's what they got coming up. They're at the Angels for two, then Oakland at home for three, at L.A. for two against the Dodgers. they're never too far away, the Arizona Diamondbacks, four against the D-backs, and then that's at Arizona, not that it matters, versus St. Louis, then versus Washington, and then it's the All-Star break. So, man. I mean, I know the schedule all evens out at some point, but, you know, they still, that's manageable, I guess is what I'm saying.
Very
that's
manageable.
Pretty good.
And the furthest they have to go until the break is to Arizona. They go down, they have an off day today, then they play two, and then they have another off day. And then you've got Oakland, and you mentioned, you know, the other home dates. The only road trip outside of going down south is to Arizona. So this is really a great spot in terms of travel. Tougher opponents than what we had over the past 13 games, but travel-wise, much lighter. So you feel like, Goo, heading into the All-Star break, and you've got a dozen or so games remaining, you should still be in first place heading into the break, and then you've got 2 weeks until the trade deadline.
No doubt, and you're going to be a buyer, and I'll say this, as crazy as it sounds, I'm not a player, fellas. I'm wondering if the All-Star break is coming at a horrible time. This team is playing fundamentally sound baseball. They're in first place. Donnie, I'm just saying, we see instances where teams have good first half and they kind of fall off. But the Giants, to me, they're doing it with everybody. And when I say everybody, everybody. And I'm punching that ticket of somehow they are going to make the postseason. This is no fluke. And, again, they're doing it with two of the best teams in baseball, and they're in first place right now. A beautiful story. And if I were to ask you, what do you need at the trading deadline? I know that's a little down the road, but it's not that far. Outside of bullpen, a position player, Dibs and stuff. I mean, they're playing so good, I'm almost like, nope, leave that alone. You got everything covered. Or how dare I even pose that they got enough when it comes to everyday players. Outside of the bullpen.
I think it's a bullpen, and it's obvious. The other thing is, you know, All-Star game's still 17 games away. So, you know, they go into the All-Star break having gone 7-10, let's say, in this stretch. Then maybe it does come at the absolute right time. All right, coming up on the other side. Hey, guys, you know what? I have not run my theory by you. I've only shared this theory with one person, Kyle Madsen, and it's about why some players are really struggling in this year's playoffs. Simmons included, Giannis a few games back, Paul George, Rudy Gobert. I think I have the answer why they're struggling, and I'll tell you on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Stynie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's not waste any time. Let's try to give away some money. All right, it's time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word CONCERT to 72881. That's CONCERT to 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. You know how sometimes when Goo's got a good point or thinks he does, he goes, oh, you guys are going to love this. You're going to love this. I think you're going to love this.
I hated the thinks he does, but go ahead.
So I think something's going on with the playoffs this year, and players maybe feeling pressure. You ready? This is brilliant. Okay, so last year, the NBA's playing, and they're at about game 65. So that means teams are gearing up for the playoffs, right? Last year. Then the pandemic hits. Wipes out about 8 or 9 months. They bring the teams that are eligible back to the bubble. Let's say 20 teams, 18, 20 teams. So those teams go back to the bubble. They have their playoffs. The Lakers are coin champions, but they're playing in an empty gym. It's an empty gym they're playing in. Then they come back this year. They're going to start the season a little late. They start playing in empty arenas. Season goes on. They're basically playing in empty arenas halfway through the year. Then some fans start to trickle back in. Now they're playing in front of 3,000, maybe 4,000. And now all of a sudden in the last month, boom, a lot of these places open up fully. You know what? These guys aren't used to playing in front of packed houses right now. They're not. The stakes are high. I see the eye roll. The stakes got high in a hurry. It's one thing to make shots in the bubble. It's one thing to make shots in front of 4,000 people. But now you're playing in front of 18,000, and you haven't played in front of 18,000 in well over a year, let alone a game that's the most important game you can play. I believe mental strength comes from repetition, and these guys have not had repetition in front of 15,000 to 20,000 people. They got to get used to it again. There you go.
I mean, I was going to let the eye roll speak for itself, but then I remembered that this is a radio show and that I can't just let my disgust at that sentiment stand on an eye roll alone, because that to me is about as soft as it gets. These are pro athletes who are used to playing in front of large crowds. I mean, not Ben Simmons has been around long enough to where he had 2 full years of sellout crowds and of pressure-packed action, and I don't think the muscle memory goes away that quickly where, yeah, the bubble was weird and playing in front of no fans was odd, and then you come back in the playoffs and you're in front of fans again. That, to me, would go away after about 90 seconds of going up and down. So I'm going to go ahead and pass on that, Steiny.
Yeah, and I'm going to be with him, Steiny. I appreciate the effort, and I see you thinking. You feel how you feel. But these guys have been playing in packed gyms their whole life.
No, not their whole life. That's the point. Last 16 months, they haven't. That's kind of my point.
But 2 years before, Ben Simmons had, and that's our point, Goo.
And you don't erase – that doesn't supersede all the years that they've been playing in front of people, Steiny. So where I'm going is, outside of the car crashes that have been Ben Simmons and the Lakers mainly, we've seen more extravagant lifetime performances than we've seen tragedies, if you get what I'm saying. So
right, because I think the extremes go both ways in this situation. Some guys will rise to the occasion. Some players won't rise to the occasion. And I do think, if you've played 5 straight years in front of packed houses, and then the next thing you know, you've just played 70 games in empty gyms. And the other thing is they're being thrown into full house games, and these are the playoffs. Like, there's been no buildup. It's just playoff start, and now we're experiencing huge crowds again for the first time. Of course you don't. I think it's like one of those things that the more games you play in front of fans, the less pressure you feel or the less overwhelmed you feel. But did the Lakers win last year with fans, Steiny?
I'm not saying you're saying that, but you got me thinking. Do the Lakers win it all last year with fans in attendance?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I I would say yes, I guess. I'm just saying, I wouldn't overlook the dynamic of playing in front of 16,000 people, then you go a year without playing in front of fans, essentially, and now all of a sudden the stakes are very high and you're back in front of 16,000. It's just a theory. It's just a theory. It's not one I'm going to get defensive about. It's not one I'm going to get all wound up about, but I don't know. I thought there was something there.
Yeah, there is something
and you
there.
Guys
and
told me?
Yeah. No, I think there is something there, but if that really is the case, then I would be more alarmed as it pertains to Ben Simmons in particular, based on if that is a reality, if you know the crowd being there was a factor. Didn't seem to bother Giannis when it came to his free throw shooting with the 1, 2, 3, 4. With the
and
count.
He kept making them. Yeah, stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Steiny has a great theory on that that I'll let him share. But just to put a bow on that first point, the crowd didn't seem to be a factor in Giannis's free throw woes. And he was called for 10-second violation at the foul line, which we never see.
Man.
You want to hear my Giannis theory yesterday?
Yeah.
And before
I got
we go crowning Giannis, he was 8 for 14 from the line.
But he go ahead. Cause I got
that's legit. 8 for 14, 58.6%. Ben Simmons
scored 40, and they won.
Maybe Simmons 70%. So he was 2 years ago. He shot 70% from the free throw line in the playoffs. Now he's 35%. Maybe just forgot what it was like to play in front of big crowds under pressure. Maybe he can bounce back. Here's my theory. So. When Giannis went to the line the first time or the first couple times and they started going 1, 2, 3, I felt like, man, that is distracting, really distracting. And I was trying to think of, you know, I was like, I think that might get to me a little bit because your routine is how many dribbles.
Yeah.
But you know what? After like 4 or 5 times, it became clear that his routine was going to exactly 12 seconds. When they got to 12, he was then in his shooting form. I actually think over the course of the game, he got comfortable with those, with that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he knew that if he got into his rhythm, he'd be shooting the ball essentially right after they got to 12. And that's a fast count, by the way. We know that the crowd's doing it, but I thought it almost worked in his favor, Goo.
And we watched the same game, and I'm with you. And what's funny is the fans didn't want to give in after he started making them or getting comfortable, but you could sense that, hey, maybe we need to cut this S out, Dibs, because he did kind of get in the flow. And I'll say this, and I talked about it earlier, the double shot of scotch. I came down Giannis's road, but where I'm going is he's so damn good, he can have 40 points in that type of game, and yet he still needs his game watered. There's so much growth, but that goes to that P word, the potential of how great this guy can be. And I'm leaving it here. What if he ends up winning the chip, Steiny? Do we all have to – or no, we know he's so great that with warts, he's still good enough to get his team to the chip. That doesn't erase that, right? Because he's got a good chance, Dibs, to hoist up this O'Brien trophy. And I'm like, and he stood there like a man and took all the bullets.
Yeah, he took them, and they survived to compete another day. And now they're in a situation where they're favored over Atlanta. Atlanta, sneaky, dangerous team.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about John Collins and his T-shirt choice here coming up in a few moments. I thought it was a phenomenal troll job, quite frankly. But Steiny mentioned it before. You've got Atlanta, Milwaukee, the Clippers, and Phoenix. No chips among them. I mean, Milwaukee got one in the 70s. That's 50 years ago. So do you love this, or do you wish there was more star power with the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, 888-957-9570. That one should be absolutely thrown out. The stat I saw, Dibs, was – none of those four teams have won it since the merger, the ABA-NBA merger in 76, 77,
wow.
I think it was, or 75, 76. So we're talking upwards of 50 years,
man.
No doubt about it.
That's even longer than I've been on the air, barely, but
First time he's taking an L. Wow, at that length, yeah.
So, yeah, so 45 years, nothing. I mean, with Giannis, like, it's funny. I mean, you know, I watched him play a lot of the, you know, playoffs, and I was like, huh, you know, there might be something there. And then I watch him last night, and I'm Saturday night, and I'm thinking, actually, his game's built totally for the playoffs. I get he doesn't have any but he still can get into the lane.
There you go, man.
And either finish or kick out to an open shooter. Not to mention, when you put him in that mid-post area, all he needs is one dribble and boom. So he cannot shoot the ball, really, but he found a way to score in other ways. I mean, 40 points is 40 points, you know?
That's what I'm saying, Dibs.
Even though overtime was like a nil-nil soccer game.
Ew, it was
like
an ugly
Paraguay
OT
v. Chile. Yeah. I mean, 4-2 final in overtime. You know, it was Giannis. It was, great move, and it's a miss. And then KD comes down exhausted. It's a miss. It was Giannis, KD, and Middleton, I think, the only three buckets in the extra session.
Joe Harris hit a three. You got one of the prettiest jumpers in the game, and there was one. If he hits it with 50 seconds left, they go up three and steady. I thought that would have been the dagger. And damn it, he just couldn't buy it with all the money in the world. But I'll say this about Giannis. Steiny, he and Dibs, he didn't quit shooting. He did not let what guys like us, the world, were saying. He still was attempting threes, but you talked about it, Steiny. I give him credit for not giving in and trusting his process.
I don't give him credit for going 2-for-7 from three-point range.
But still trying to shoot it, though, Steiny, I guess.
Well, and this goes back to our old argument that nobody can win. Would you rather have a guy go 1-for-10 from three-point range or 0-for-0? I mean, I'd rather he go 0-for-0. You'd like to see the guy shoot, even if it's not his strength. I don't know. To me, it would be foolish if Giannis and Ben Simmons really started shooting the three. By the way, here's the other thing. You mentioned Joe Harris, and I want to throw this to Dibs, too. What does this tell you? The guy taking the hit today, by far, right, is Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is getting criticized more than any other player in this playoffs. Joe Harris stunk. And I get it. Joe Harris is a role player. But Tobias Harris was 8-for-24 yesterday. Joel Embiid had 8 turnovers yesterday against the Hawks. I mean, they were not much better than Ben Simmons, who didn't shoot the ball, but still had 13 assists, only 2 turnovers, 8 rebounds. I get that it's shooting, but they had a lot of blame to go around. But I guess what I'm asking Dibs is, why is it mostly coming down on Ben Simmons?
Because of what he isn't doing at the foul line. And, you know, we always talk about relatability. When we watch our sports, what can you relate to? And we all watched the U.S. Open yesterday, and we can get into more of what took place with Jon Rahm coming home for me. Liquidate all assets. We gave it to you last week. Thank you, Goo. 9-1 on Rombo. Schauffele didn't quite materialize, but Bryson DeChambeau making an 8 on the par 4. He made a snowman, a quadruple bogey. We can all appreciate that. Steiny, especially you and I, you know, we've had times where we've sculled it out of the bunker and then shanked it out of the rough and on. But the relatability of what Ben Simmons did is, I think, partly why it's easy to criticize him, because we can all make a free throw. You can go down to your local park right now with your kids, your friends, your neighbors, your au pair, your gardener, your dog, whatever, and you can get to the foul line and you can make a foul shot. Ben Simmons cannot or could not make a foul shot. So I think the relatability of that is why he gets scapegoated. You know, you look at Joe Harris and his inability to knock down a three.
He kept jacking, though. Yeah, kept trying.
He's an NBA player trying to hit a 23-foot, 6-inch shot, which I've tried to do in an empty gym with no one on me, and it's not easy. Missing a free throw, we can all make free throws. That's why I think it becomes much more of a scapegoat situation.
And let me add on, Dibs, if I can, because American people, Steiny and Dibs, they can't be fooled. Ben was thinking about the free throw trip to where he lost aggressiveness with his offensive game. So he was, in essence, hiding. And that's why people in Philly are going irate, Steiny. He was running from the moment. Even if he thought, you know what, on the offensive end, I'll kind of get lost. Nobody can tell. Everybody was watching. And that pass to he had the dunk and he gave it to Harris. That's when I was like, oh, this is a real thing. So that's where I think people are upset that it ain't you missing the free throws. That you thinking about that made you less aggressive, and that's hurting the team. And as far as Embiid, that dude was out there with a torn meniscus. To what degree, I don't know, but they're not in any of these games without him. So he ain't a target at all for me. Harris, I don't know what happened, Steiny. That was just – he was bad. And, you know, I won't take the show off the track, but I'm just tired. And I'm tired of the narrative, like you said it, because Friday night, Paul George exercised his demons, allegedly. And then Saturday, he has 34, but he didn't score in the fourth. And last night, people are saying he's a choke again. I'm like, dude, he's 48 hours. What are we doing? But that's how soon the cycle works, guys.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. But you know what?
It's BS.
That doesn't mean that I have to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't mean that I have to say Ben Simmons stinks. He stunk for the last week. Before that, he was pretty good. It's just too easy. It's lazy. Like, Ben Simmons is 24 years old. He just had a really bad playoff. Philly got eliminated. Okay. It's not over. His career, he's just getting started in his career, relatively speaking. And here's the one thing. Dibs, tell me if you think there's something here. For the last 3 or 4 days, we've heard about Simmons. And we've heard about, you know, Giannis couldn't get it done. And Rudy Gobert, totally exposed. Well, you know what? There's somebody who, quote, unquote, choked bigger than all those guys this weekend. And that was Bryson DeChambeau. He absolutely, positively collapsed on the back nine yesterday. But I don't know. It happens more in golf. We're still talking about John Rahm. We've not a lot of people are talking about DeChambeau, not to the extent we talk about the failed NBA players in the postseason.
And I think it's because, you know, the NBA players, especially when you talk about the big marquee players, not Kevin Durant, but, you know, Ben Simmons has been the one getting the brunt of it, and they're getting paid handsomely. Bryson DeChambeau, you're out there, you're all alone. It's you and your caddy and the golf ball and the golf course. There's no defense. And, you know, when you see DeChambeau go bogey, bogey, double, and then make a quad, and, you know, the guy had the lead heading to the back nine on Sunday, defending champ, and it looked like, you know, he's smiling and he's the boy genius and all this other stuff. But because it's an individual sport, there's no sense of him, quote, letting down his teammates or letting down a city. You know, if you're a DeChambeau fan or if you had money on him, you're upset, you're bummed. But ultimately, in an individual sport, I think it's different than in a team sport.
Goo, what'd you think of the U.S. Open?
I loved every minute of it. And, you know, it was another thing I do with my dad on Father's Day. And we didn't have Tiger Woods to live through. And normally, you know, to relate to. And it's not just skin color. It was just, you know, the famous golfer. And this time, since you guys were DeChambeau and we've been talking about him so much, I kind of told Pops what was going on. And I was rooting for him. And I'm thinking he's about to pull this off. We're going to get the podium game after it's over when they interview you. And from my eye, I'm not the biggest golf fan. A lot of guys miss some putts. Rory McIlroy, I start rooting for him. I'm like, you know what? Tiger's watching this. He was supposed to be a Tiger disciple or a Tiger villain or foe. I'm rooting for him. And then I remember, Dibs, you helped me out. You said this course ain't the easiest course. So that, to me, does that excuse guys for having the hiccups? Because a lot of them did. It wasn't just DeChambeau to me.
Right.
But for Rahm to come out of nowhere, me and Pops thought he'd come out of nowhere, Dibs. You told us on the podcast, but
that wasn't a dark horse as much as I thought when it was all said and done. But I just wonder, is golf hurting because they don't have the next Tiger Woods or the next Giannis or the next Embiid out there winning these chips as Tiger basically is done?
It's not hurting, quote unquote, but to have a person of color like Tiger Woods, what he did for the sport when he burst on the scene, and you know, he brought so many new people to the game of golf based on the fact that he is different. And you know, John Rahm is Spanish, and Louis Oosthuizen, who finished second, is South African. Hideki Matsuyama, Masters champ, Japanese. So the global impact of golf right now is as good as it's ever been. You had Mackenzie Hughes, a Canadian, on the leaderboard. You had so many different characters. But you know, Tiger Woods did for golf what Michael Jordan did for the NBA. And I would say even greater than that, because the NBA was in a better place than the PGA Tour was when Tiger and Michael both came on the scene. You know, the NBA was coming out of Magic and Bird, and you know, Michael Jordan took it to a whole nother level. What Tiger Woods did for the PGA Tour and all golfers, he raised it up even higher than Michael Jordan did. So for golf, I don't know if there's another Tiger Woods type character out there, or if there could be another impact like they already had when Tiger came and did what he did.
I think the other thing too is obviously just a numbers game. We're watching Atlanta, Philly yesterday, and there's going to be one team that wins and one team that loses. And then, of course, we can talk about the players on each side. But golf, you know, to win a golf tournament, you got to beat 100 guys each week. You know, so it just makes it harder to win in golf. And what you find is that most golfers can't do enough to win a tournament, because usually the guy who wins the tournament played great. And so on that given week, you just weren't as good at, you know, it'd be like Jordan during his prime was Tiger Woods. Well, you could play the best round of your life, but if Tiger played really well for Tiger, you're not going to beat him. So, the nature of golf is, I think, you deal with failure a little more.
Because you're not by yourself.
You know what,
Dave?
But that's the other thing about the sport. Like, I don't know who finished fourth or fifth, but that's not failure for those guys.
Right.
They just didn't win the tournament, but of top fives, that's great.
Yeah, and DeChambeau, who faded into like 15th, I think,
man,
you know, he still has a nice paycheck, but he wakes up in the morning and thinks, man, I had the lead. I was in control. And the driver, he hits the ball so far, and his driving game is so unbelievable, yet he lost it, Steiny. It kind of reminds me of my own game,
man,
where I haven't been able to drive the ball in years, and it's a sickening feeling when you're up on the tee box and you have no idea where the ball is going to be going.
And what about the camera angle to get the ball that was in the tree? They had it right there where the ball's, and I'm looking like that. That's some hell of a technology. But I'll say this. Don't sleep on the presentation at these golf tournaments, because you know I like stuff like this. I find out this guy, Rahm, proposed to his wife at Torrey Pines. I'm like, and then you come back and win the tournament there. I mean, there's nothing better than look at me moments, Stoddy, because when you win the finals or the World Series, it's a group. But you're right. That individual, here it is. And then they do the interview. I got goosebumps. Like, that's, man, don't sell that short. It's all the presentation. That's all.
No.
Second
no,
Arizona
right.
State Sun Devil to win a major. Look at your boy.
Look at you. Woo. I love it. Hey, it's the NBA draft lottery tomorrow night. The Warriors are going to find out where they're drafting. And Joe Lacob recently did an interview and was asked about James Wiseman. And let me tell you something. Joe Lacob was not having any of it. In fact, to quote John Dickinson, Joe Lacob thinks that's a problem in terms of the criticism of James Wiseman. I'll tell you about it on the other side on 95.7 The Game. And it's brought to you by Mimecast. The email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email, compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. mimecast.com. That's mimecast.com. MIMECAST.com.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. By the way, 95.7 The Game wants to send you on a trip to the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa. Enjoy a two-night stay, a round of golf, a $250 food and beverage credit. To be entered, download the free Odyssey app on your smartphone and favorite 95.7 The Game. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Search for 95.7 The Game and hit the heart icon in the top left-hand corner. That's it. Download and favorite, and you'll be entered to win. For more details, visit 957thegame.com/contests. Good Father's Day for everybody out there. Dibs, Goo.
Yeah.
Fun.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Had a chance to go out to dinner with my gal and my two sons at Forge down there in Jack London. And my boys both came with presents for the old man. And we had a nice dinner, Goo. And then the moment of truth comes when the check gets delivered. Boom. Let's put the check on
alligator
the table.
Arms.
Normally I'm quick to pounce on the check because it's what you do, you know, as the gentleman here. And I let it sit there wondering if my teenager and my just recently exited his teen years would reach for the check and do the old man a solid.
How'd that go?
And?
Well, it didn't go great for me. The check sat there for a good 8 minutes, and then I reluctantly pulled the card. And, you know, but they're both basically, they're both paying for just about all of their own college education. You know, I'm not going to quibble with them over, you know, going alligator on me for Father's Day when they're taking on the lion's share of it. Both of them have built up bank accounts to pay for their own college education. But it was just one of those moments where, all right, we'll get them next year.
I like
it. Nice.
Yeah. Stani, go ahead.
No, you go, Goo. I asked you.
I was just going to say, we queued some ribs, chicken, and I didn't have to be involved in any of the making, the fixings. So I just got to chill and, you know, sip a couple margarita here and there and watch games and golf with Pops. And when it's all said and done, it was Ice Cube. It was a good day.
Attaboy. Didn't have to use the AK.
There you go.
Yeah, nice. And you guys both have the two-way Father's Day, right? Were you able to – because my father, Dwayne, has been gone almost 6 years now. Did you get to enjoy both ends of it, Steiny, you know, with a phone call to your old man and also enjoy some time with your daughters?
Enjoyed some time with my daughters. Dad, we exchanged phone calls. I left two messages with him, and then I received a message back from him saying – that he'd put a time limit on how long it would be till I called him to wish him a happy Father's Day, and that I had gone past that limit, so he didn't want to hear from me. That's Pops for you.
I
picked up the phone again this morning, dialed a different number, left another message, and we'll see. I left three messages, though, so I feel okay.
You checked the box. Absolutely.
I did.
Yeah,
and I mentioned this to you two. I'm whispering real quick. I got my Father's Day card about 3:30 or 4 before dinner. Dude, I don't do that. I got up and saw the old man from – I was the first piece of business here.
Wow, yeah.
And I just get – and I didn't say anything but study and tears. I'm like, you got to give it to me early if you really mean it. I'm sorry to say it. About 3:41, Ogu got it, and I put it up on the table, said thanks, but – gosh, what happened to 7?
I get that. I was informed that my youngest woke up yesterday at about 1:30 in the afternoon. So, you know, let alone, you know, produce
the
card.
7:30, right, I got you.
Yeah, you got to give the kids a full 24. They get the full 24 hours to come correct. Now, if one of your kids had to rush out and get the card at 3:30, not remembering it was Father's Day, that's a different
issue. I don't know if that happened. That could have happened. Yeah. I was a blind eye, Stoddy, but
nice.
Yeah, give it to the
nothing
man
like
early.
That emergency run to CVS. Holy crap, it's Father's Day.
Exactly. I had a good Father's Day. I got a keychain.
Awesome.
I got a card, a homemade card, and then I got a big box of Quench gum. quench gum. So that's what I got for Father's Day. Yeah,
that's huge. I actually have one more present coming. My youngest son is dealing with an Amazon, so it's supposed to arrive today. But my oldest, the great Quest, Goo, got me a biography of Tupac Shakur.
I'm jealous. I want to come over. Tell me when you get it.
I'm going to read it. I already got it. I'm going to read it, and then I'll pass it along. But that's a classic case of, and you love it. What's really cool, too, is my kids know I love bargains, and I love things that are on sale. And so there's a big, fat 30% off sticker that he left on the book, knowing that I'd appreciate the fact that he saved 30%.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Nice job. Very nice job.
Nice job, Quest.
So the Warriors draft lottery is coming up tomorrow. They'll find out when they were where they're picking. Could it be just number 14? Could it be 7 and 14? Could it be 1 and 4? Big sway one way or the other. But the guy who's probably the most talked about Golden State Warrior this season, James Wiseman, the rookie out of Memphis. He played just 3 games. Joe Lacob was on the TK podcast. Tim Kawakami of The Athletic has a podcast. And Joe Lacob was on it. And Kawakami asked Joe Lacob how he was feeling about James Wiseman after an up-and-down rookie year. Take a listen to what Lacob had to say.
I'm so flabbergasted by what I read about James Wiseman. I mean, I don't know what these people are watching. I am excited about what I saw this year. He obviously came right out of high school, basically. He had no summer league, no preseason, got COVID, you know, got injured. I mean, look, given all that, I would like to see him to, you know, play more games at the end, particularly would have gotten better, I think, towards the end. But big men at 19 years old, take a look at history. To be 11-7 or 11-6, 12-6 at net-net, you know, just on a numbers basis, is actually quite good. And if you look, if you have use your eyes and look at what you saw overall, look at some of the potential. Because when you draft 19-year-olds, you're drafting on potential. Nobody is coming in and dominating at 19 years old. Nobody, even Kobe Bryant took the year 3, and he wasn't even a center. I mean, Joel Embiid missed his first 2 years with injury. I mean, these expectations are too high.
Dibs, you think he's talking about Goo?
He's talking about all of us.
Expectations are too high. Expectations are too high.
No, I don't think it's only Goo. I think it's a lot of us. And the fact that he said flabbergasted is, I mean, he's flabbergasted. It's tremendous. And just use your eyes. And, well, Mr. Lacob, I did use my eyes. And the expectations that I had for him weren't that high. And, you know, he looked at the numbers 12-6 or 13-6 or whatever. Let's look at the plus minus, the offensive and defensive and the overall plus minus. He was among the worst in the league. So we can look at any different numbers that we want to play out our narrative. The one thing I agree with him wholeheartedly, a big man drafted at 19, it's going to take him some time. My expectations were not NBA All-Star and 25-15 or Ezekiel 23-16 or 25-16 or whatever, Pulp Fiction. My expectations were for him to be more capable, more knowledgeable, more of a neutral asset, not necessarily a positive, but the fact that he struggled so much in the intangible ways, that's where I think that there may be a problem.
And I'll say this, I wish Doc Rivers, and I'm taking Lacob at his word, I think he's being honest, but I just think back, Steiny, what's the win if he were to be honest, saying he went the other way? They don't got a game tomorrow. Morale would have been down. He's building this guy up. I appreciate that, and he may truly believe that, and that's why he said it. I wish Doc Rivers would have did that about Ben, but at the end of the day, what do we know? He didn't finish the season. 2, he wasn't strong as we thought he was going to be. And 3, he may be further along than they need him to be to get this Steph Curry window to get a chip. So those are concerns, and he's hurt right now. So I just don't get how – and I love Joey Lightyears, how we're so off or there's something we're missing. Because if you were to survey the people really, Steiny, I think it would be 65-35 that, not disappointed, they wanted more from Wiseman, that he would be more ready for the league.
I think that if you forget about the fact that that Steph Curry is ostensibly in a championship window. You just forget that because that's really no concern of James Wiseman's. James Wiseman's got to develop like he's going to develop. It's not his fault, nor is it his responsibility that he happened to be drafted this particular year. And again, I've said it before, if you drafted James Wiseman at 19 with just three games under his belt and you thought that he was going to be able to be a starting center in the NBA as the Warriors reclaim their championship throne, well, that's unrealistic. He just said that himself about all the big men, how they take time. So I think the one thing that maybe Warrior fans are having trouble wrapping their head around, guys, is that the Warriors may have made this pick knowing it was going to take 3 or 4 years. And then that asked the question, well, was anybody thinking about Curry, Clay, and Draymond? But nobody in their right mind could have thought that they were drafting this kid and he was going to be, you know, playing 25 minutes a game starting and the Warriors going deep into the playoffs.
But what did you expect his first year trajectory to be? You expected it to be, all right, no camp. We're in a pandemic situation, no preseason, and we're kind of starting in this weird year of 72 games. Well, you were hoping in the beginning of the year, all right, let's see if Wiseman can play 60 of the 72 and average 18 minutes a night. Let's just say, let's put that at that number. That's 1,000 minutes of NBA basketball, and you would hope that from the beginning of the year to the end, he would become more comfortable, more aware, better defensively, more a key part of, not a key part, but a part of the offensive scheme. And you never got there. You got about a fourth or a third of the way toward what you wanted in his first year trajectory. And that's why, you know, Wiseman gave himself a B+ for the opening year. I don't know what Joe Lacob gave him. Based on those words, it sounds like Joe would probably give him at least a B, if not a B+ on his own. I thought he would have improved more and been better by the end of the year than he was. And I know the injuries and the coronavirus that he got, and, you know, Joe basically confirming that in the TK interview, there were reasons why his trajectory was interrupted, but still, I don't think that he made the kind of progress I would have expected in year one.
And Dibs, I'm with you, and I'm going Clint Eastwood, Steiny, sudden impact. That's what I thought we were going to get from him, number two. And we didn't get it. And if you didn't watch a Warrior game, you would think if I said 11-5 from a rookie that the impact would be greater than it actually was. But it wasn't. And where he became what I deem a liability at times was the defensive end. And I can't, and I know Lacob's not, or anybody is ignoring the fact of what the team did when he got hurt. They essentially got better on defense. And it propelled them to the play-in game. And I don't want to rob young James Wiseman of saying that wouldn't have happened had he not got hurt, but how the hell can, you know, my observation be so off the mark when he got hurt? He showed you defensively and rebounded. It hit 7-1, wasn't his thing. There are some red flags that, and I don't want to say red flags, there's some area of growth that are needed. But if people want to just throw this parade and say, I'm missing the boat or he played better than I thought, I don't want to do that on purpose, but that's not how I saw it. I don't think anybody saw it that way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.